thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, as I was leaving here to go for lunch, I seen this sign as I was leaving, and it was for the Joey Dunlop Memorial Garden. Forgive me, I've never been to it. And as I was driving past it, I just seen these about 7 or 8 motorcyclists coming, winging past me, going towards it. There's nothing wrong with that in itself. You know, Joey Dunlop, he was the greatest motorcyclist, and he was a respected man, and he was a hero to many. But right then, I felt the Lord say to me, they're on a pilgrimage to an idol. I'm not here to judge hearts, but I'm here to ask tonight, have we built idols for ourselves? Not just carved statues or shrines or images, but something, anything, anyone is an idol that's sitting in our hearts where God should be placed alone. Exodus 32:1, and see if you're one of these people that likes to get a Bible, and I'm sorry, I'm winging all over the Bible tonight, so apologize for that. So Exodus 32:1 says this: when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. Here's God's chosen people. The Israelites had come out of Egypt. God had been a part of their escape. He got them to the Red Sea. When they seen the enemy we was coming behind them, he parted the Red Sea and gave them a free going across. When they were in the desert, he rained down manna. He made sure that they were well fed. Thundered from the mountain. But in Moses' absence, what did they do? Make us a god. Aaron makes a golden calf. And here's the shocker. That they say, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. What a tragedy. They took the credit due to God and gave it to something different. They gave it to something that was made by man's hand. Ask yourself tonight, what have I given God's glory to? Later on, the Israelites sinned again. Well, then they're out in the wilderness, they're complaining and they're grumbling, and God sends down the serpents for judgment. You see, God sends down the snakes in amongst the camp. As they start to sin, the snakes bite them and they die. Because what does the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. But yet again, they go to Moses and go, oh, come on, Moses. And Moses intercedes for them, and God tells them, make a bronze snake and put it on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. Numbers 28:1. You see, all they had to do is, when they were bit by the snake, all they had to do is look at the bronze snake, and then that was it. Done and dusted, they were made well again. You see, God provides. God gave them a provision, a symbol of healing through obedience and faith. But then let's fast forward to 2 Kings. Hezekiah broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. So the Israelites had taken something that God had made and made it an idol. Something that was supposed to be wonderful, something that was supposed to be life-saving, they turn away from the provider, and then They turn to the bronze snake and make it a higher thing than God. They turn the very thing God gave to point to him, and they make it into a false god. How many things in our lives started as a blessing, but have become idols? It could be a relationship. It could be ministry. It could be tradition. You see, one of the things about tradition, as I said this morning, I was brought up Church of Ireland. And I, being honest with you, I was christened in the church at 13 years of age. I went to a 6-week thing with a minister talking, and I sat there, and when you looked out of the church window, you could see the Orange Hall where our band practice was on, and band practice was the same time as the confirmation classes, and I would rather be over there than in here, listen to this rocket talking. I was confirmed, and you want to see the sweat in my mother's brow when I took a confirmation thing first. Because in the Church of Ireland, you get real wine. She was going, don't drink it, just sip it. And she was panicking in case I drank the wine. And this is tradition for you. Because believe it or not, I thought because I was christened, because I'd done my confirmation, because I'd profaned the holy table by taking the communion that I was in. That's what tradition was telling me. I was so lost, it was unreal. Still lost. I knew about Jesus, but tradition was telling me, oh, you'll be fine. No. Even a cross necklace, even a building. You see, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. John 3:14. The cross was a place of death. Wood and nails don't save us. Jesus saves us. How many times do we look at a cross? How many times do we look for the cross? But the truth is, the cross done nothing. It was a bit of an inert wood. It's the one that was on the cross that did it all for us. Jesus Christ. The cross is not magic. It's a symbol. It's what Jesus did. He bore our sins, not the cross. He bled. He died. We don't worship the cross. We worship Christ who conquered the cross. We are saved by his blood, not by wood. But we don't stop at the cross. How many times have I seen people who have come to the cross, have come to the realization, and that's as far as they go. They come to church, they get a wee tickle in the ear, and they go, oh, that was great. I'll give myself to the Lord. I'll say the wee fluffy prayer. Luke 24:5-6 says, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. You see, one of the things is, the cross is only the start. Yes, we come to the cross in repentance, but repentance is not the end. It is the beginning, because it is a turning point towards resurrection, towards a newness, towards a transformation. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was risen from the dead, we too may live a new life. What idols do you need to smash tonight? Do you even need to smash the cross tonight? I don't want to be sounding like I'm a heretic or anything, but the thing is, some people will come to the cross and they will say, yes, I repent. But when we repent, it's not just to come in here and go, yeah, I repent. Yeah, JT, I'll say the prayer with you. No. To repent is to change your life. To repent is to actually move your whole ideas. It's the way to describe it is like a 180-degree turn. So we leave the world behind. We leave the cross. And we're actually walking Because what's that thing? Friday he dies, Saturday there's nothing, Sunday there's the empty tomb. You see, each and every one of us, we're all on a journey. Once we repent at the cross, we're starting to head towards the open tomb. Because you see, when Jesus died for us, we have died. Because we're all dead to sin. If we say we have no sin, we're making him to be a liar. Each and every one of us is sinners, and we've repented at the cross, and we start to turn, we become alive. We're resurrected in Jesus Christ. God says in Ezekiel 14:3, these men have set up idols in their hearts. You see, we don't have to have a physical idol. Not everything is physical. Not everything's a statue. One of the things that we have the privilege, and I got to speak to some people and from different faiths, and one of them particularly prays to Mary. And I got to say to them, see, when Jesus said to the, or Mary said to the servants about the water being, and the wine had run out, he says, what did Mary say to them, the servants? Go to him and do what he tells you. Because Mary didn't even have a power. She knew her son, Jesus Christ, had all the power. She was directing the servants to even Jesus. So why do we look to idols? Why do we pray to idols? I do a wee service in a home, and I was asked to go and pray with a wee woman. And I went up to her room and I was standing there, and she goes, what's your favorite whatever? And I went, Jesus. She goes, oh, no. You've got Christopher, St. Christopher, and you've got all these saints you started rhyming off. And I went, nah, they can do nothing. They're dead. They're just like the rest of them. They're dead. The only ones alive interceding for you and me is Christ Jesus on the beside the Father. He's the one. You see, the greatest thing is that when Jesus died on the cross, there was a veil in the church 60 foot high, 40 foot wide, 4 inches thick, and it was ripped from the roof to the floor. No man could, and that opened a way into God. You and I, you see, you don't need a pastor, you don't need a minister, you don't need a priest, you don't need anybody. You can enter into the presence of God. You don't need me. You can. Jesus has made a way for you. And see, the thing is, I didn't realize was that religion tried to fix it. Religion tried to close the curtain again and put a false god behind it for about 40 years. Sometimes the church is doing the same. Sometimes we forget Jesus Christ has died. It's simple. But we try to make it complicated. We try to make out ourselves great theologians. Well, I don't, because I'm thick as champ. But sometimes we try to make it more than what it really is. 1 John 5:21 says, John gives his last warning in this letter. It says this, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's be honest tonight, we're in the house of the Lord. Before God tonight, have you made comfort your idol? Have you made entertainment your idol? Have you made yourself an idol? One of the things, being bivocational, it's quite difficult because you're out working and you come home and you take the child to give the wife a break and you've bathed her and put her to bed, and comes about 8 o'clock at night. Just want to sit down, put TV news on or something, see what's going on in the world. And then my wife goes, have you nothing to do? And I go, what? Well, have you nothing to do? And you're going, oh, it's 9 o'clock. And she goes, have you not got a sermon to write? Have you not got a Bible study to prepare? Oh, it's 9 o'clock. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Is it just pastors that procrastinate? Or is it everybody? And it just, and she's going, get up, get to your desk. See, that's what it takes sometimes for me, is that entertainment, the bright lights of the TV is more interesting, unfortunately, than the Bible. I'm going, oh, Lorraine, maybe in the morning. And she's going, get up. And if you met my wife, she's 5'2", red hair, and she's a firecracker. And she keeps me in line. But you see, sometimes we can put this, you see, as I said this morning, sin just comes in so subtly. And just says, oh, sure, you don't need to read your Bible today. Do it tomorrow. Oh, sure, tomorrow you're a wee bit busy. Sure, I'll do tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Oh, sure, you don't need to pray today. Sure, you've got everything you need. One of the greatest things we have is prayer. It's time to smash the idols. And I don't mean gently. I mean we actually take a sledgehammer and we smash them for good. We destroy them so that the only thing that we have is Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't make us religious. Jesus gave us a relationship. And that's one of the things that I love about the Edom Church, that it doesn't matter who you are, as long as you're Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-led, you're welcome. Everybody is welcome. Jesus didn't give us religion. Religion killed him. He died and rose again to make us free, alive, and a new creation. Don't stop at repentance. You see, it's quite easy to just sit here tonight, and if you don't know the Lord, and go, oh, Ricky, that was great tonight. I feel that I want to give myself to the Lord, and that's it. It's not. There's more. There's a walk in the resurrection life. We have to walk it. Don't stop at the cross. Follow him to the empty tomb. Don't settle for idols. Run after the living God. So tonight, if you don't know Christ Jesus, he is waiting for you, he is here for you tonight. The cross is there for you, but it's only a marker in your life. How many of us actually stop and reflect on our lives? The other day, I was forced to stop and just look backwards to see where God has been in my life. I'm not talking about Sunday school, I'm talking about outside that, and where God has actually interjected into my life. And the first time I can remember is when I was 15. I was well known to the police by this stage. I was that well known, they used to take me on holidays. And the big lads used to teach me how to break into the peeler's tuck shop. It was brilliant. But a police officer caught me doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. This has been recorded, so I'll just say, I might have been in possession of something that I didn't own, okay? So he actually turned around and said to my mother, this is his last chance, he's either jail or the army. So she signed the papers, and I was sent to the army. It was the best thing I've ever done. The next part where I felt a marker stone in my life is when I met Lorraine, who's now my wife. Her father was a born-again Christian. And every time I came into the house, oh, Lord. It just seemed to be that the mother-in-law and Lorraine found an excuse to go make a cup of tea, and I was left me own with him. And he would start telling me about this lunatic called Jesus. I go, oh, not again. And then he would tell me about him and another man who used to go around all the markets, Cookstown, Lisburn, all of them, and they'd be handing out tracts and telling people, do you know what, are you sick? We'll lay hands upon you. And people were being healed. Broken arms were being fixed. And I'm going, this man is wired to the moon. But you see, it was his testimony that started to touch my heart. It was him speaking out. You see, God spoke in the beginning, and it became. He spoke light, and light came. God spoke it. God said. And then when we speak into people's lives, it becomes. When we speak into our youth, they become great. And I'm just wondering, tonight, can a marker be for you tonight? The cross. Can Ballymoney Elam tonight on the, was it the 27th of July? It's only 122 days to Christmas, by the way. Can Ballymoney Elam be a marker in your life tonight? That you can come to know Christ Jesus as your Savior. But let the cross only be a marker, because there's a journey. There's a journey which, I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy journey. It's going to be one of the hardest journeys at times, possibly. But you know what? See, at the end of it, you're going to the greatest party ever. You're going to a party where there's going to be everything in a mansion that's being made for you. If you stay the course. Can I ask tonight, come bring your idol, lay it down. It may be pride, it may be fear, it may be a dream or a sin. Come and surrender it tonight. Let the fire of heaven fall, not on an altar built by human hands, but an altar of surrendered heart.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.